Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. Sports Rage, late night, has begun. I am Morenci. We're throwing it down with the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between as we talk Major League Baseball. We're now actually minus a few days. Less than a month away, supposedly, from the start of the Major League Baseball regular season. Normally we say, you know, it's funny because Dave Malinsky, may he rest in peace. Great handicapper, great analyst, one of the smartest people that I've ever known. A really smart guy, unfortunately, passed away a couple of years ago in a tragic hiking incident in Nevada. But I remember whenever Major League Baseball, the season would start, he'd always remind us every year. He'd say, Gabriel, you have to remember it's a 162-game season. This is it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Well, this year, no. It's actually a sprint, isn't it? It's a sprint. You have to wonder if they're going to be able to make it to the finish line, though, aren't you, considering the Corona spike. Right now, and it's spiking pretty hard. All right, it's spiking volleyball style spikes. The numbers are going up right now. The National Football League announces that they've canceled the Hall of Fame game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys. This was going to take place on August the 6th, and it's been met with pretty much a collective sort of, well, you know, it's just a preseason game. Yeah, you have to wonder if this game is canceled. Then how long is it until games that are just like a week after that are canceled? And then the week after that are canceled, et cetera. There's not a lot of racetrack to work with here, as the National Football League is operating as if though they're in a status quo, normal world, but it's bizarro world. Some stadiums will have fans. Meanwhile, the New York Giants announced that, there'll be fans, but cardboard cutouts of fans. You can pay your way to get into the stadium. Cardboard cutout style should be interesting, to say the least. All right. Jason Tocca is going to step up, and we're going to talk some baseball. This guy was a longtime general manager, man, in the minor leagues. He's seen a ton of big leaguers come and go. We're talking big league baseball and more. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Let's roll. Late night anger management class has begun. I'm Morenci throwing it down. Jason Packerman will step up and join us in a couple of moments of time. This guy was a longtime general manager of the Vancouver Canadiens, a minor league baseball team, A-ball right now. Now the affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. But they used to be the affiliate, I think, of the Oakland Athletics and the Seattle Mariners. Long, deep history, man. Long, long, deep history of baseball in Vancouver. Of course, you know, we had Jason on before. He worked with Alex Anthopoulos. And, you know, we're just going to throw some names at him about players that sort of went through the system. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk the upcoming Major League Baseball season as well. How do you approach this from a 60-game schedule perspective? And we see that the Anaheim Angels, and I know they're the Los Angeles Angels. No, they're the Anaheim Angels. They play in Anaheim, all right? They're not in Los Angeles. They're in Anaheim, if we want to get technical. But I guess the Giants and Jets aren't really in New York either, are they? You know, the Giants and Jets don't even practice in New York. Like, they don't practice in New York. They don't play in New York. And they don't live in New York. Like, the New York Giant football players, like Odell Beckham, didn't live. Like, you figure, like, Odell's, like, in Manhattan and stuff like that. Odell Beckham, like, lived in New Jersey, like, by the stadium and stuff. And, you know, it's funny how, you know, the New York Jets, the New York Giants, actually, you know, they never set foot in New York, actually. But the Angels are going to a six-man rotation. You know, they're going to a deeper rotation. It's going to be really interesting. So we'll get like a smart baseball guy's perspective. Which teams have the edge here? What's the strategy? How does he think it plays out? NHL Hub City News. Vancouver, which a lot of people, including myself, thought that Vancouver was going to end up being the Canadian hub city. Well, you know, I got to be honest. I said Toronto all along. I've said Toronto all along. But Vancouver, you know, Vancouver was a big time front runner. And now, you know, there's a story out about how Vancouver has been scratched from the list, yet it's kind of a little bit deceptive. Like, it's not like, oh, Vancouver was told, no, we're not going to Vancouver. From, you know, the reports are out of Vancouver is basically that the local city government and the provincial government weren't as agreeable to the National Hockey League's plans as some other places are. And I'll say, you know, Dr. Bonnie Henry. So Dr. Bonnie Henry, you know, every place sort of has, like, you know, the city and the health commissioner or whatever. And, you know, health commissioners have become stars, right? You know, like, you know, Dr. Fauci, like, the guy sold, like, millions of bobbleheads. I'm not even kidding. Like, his bobblehead's going for, like, you know, $70. Yeah, you know that the fad is starting to die down a little bit. People are starting to dislike him because of the virus. They blame him. But, you know, like, there's, like, local, like, you know, health celebrities now, basically. But this Bonnie Henry, she's like a global celebrity in the medical community because of what a great job they've done against coronavirus. So she's not impressed with commissioners of sports leagues saying, oh, we want to do this and we want to do that. She, you know, basically, I guess, you know, the NHL got frustrated and realized, yeah, this isn't going anywhere. Like, this isn't like we can't do what we exactly want to do. And basically, if they came to Vancouver, they would have had to quarantine. Like, basically, it was no exceptions. It was like no exceptions. I don't care. Like, if you're an NHL player, you've got to quarantine for 14 days first. And other places in Canada, you don't have to. Like, the Canadian government isn't even forcing that. But BC is more stringent than the Canadian government is even. So, BC, you gone. So, Vancouver's off the list. But, like, really, the whole thing with this is nobody cares. Like, do you care? you know, this is like the episode of The Simpsons with Skinner, when you find out his name is really Armin Tazarian. And you know, he comes back and Homer says, I don't care that he lied about his name. Do you care that he lied about his name? Because I don't care. Nobody cares. And then everyone realizes, yeah, it's true. I don't care. I don't care if he lied about his name. Like, it's one of these things, like the Hub City. Like, these guys are acting like it's like the World Expo or something, and it's like the 60s. It's like, oh, yeah, where's the next World Expo, man? It's like, dude, you're playing with no fans. Like, I've never seen a league in my life. Well, I said I've never seen a league in my life. I've never lived through a pandemic in my life either like this. But, like, honestly, like, the NBA didn't, like, have, like, 80 million little press leaks and, like, this is an Olympic bid. The NBA was like, listen, there's two places we could do this, Las Vegas or Orlando. We're going to Orlando. And then they announced it. We're going to Orlando. You know, the NHL, seriously, Gary Bettman, little Gary, had a press conference, like, I don't know, like a month ago or something. And everyone freaked out, oh, the NHL, they're the first back. It's great. He had a little Zoom press conference, said nothing about nothing. And now every damn day, there's like 18 tweets a day from hockey insiders. Oh, Chicago's off the list. Pittsburgh's in. Pittsburgh's out. Columbus is out. You know, every damn team like in the league was on this list pretty much. You know, financially, it helps whatever city it goes to a bit. You know, it does. You know, they're staying in hotel rooms. They're going to be eating expensive food. You know what I'm saying? Like, there will be money spent. There will be money spent to have, like, half the National Hockey League staying in a couple of hotels in your city. I get it. But, you know, that's why the politicians want it. Right? That's why some of the politicians have campaigned so hard for it. And also, it's like a feather in the cap. Hey, you know what? The NHL decided to come here. You know, that's how great we are here. And, you know, I was responsible for it. Right, it's like a political feather in their cap, but you know, do you care where they play? I don't care. Like really, like what difference does it make? When you're watching a game and you're not at the game, you know what I mean? And there's no fans at the game, they could be playing in Moscow for all I care. Like you know, like we said last night, supposedly you know, coronavirus isn't too bad in India. They could go play in Mumbai for all I care. What do I care? You know, seriously. What do you think? Like, if they, you know, if they were playing in Vancouver, I was going to be outside the arena asking people for autographs going in. Hey, guys. I see that the NBA, they're not playing around. They have, they're going to have law enforcement. I'm sure this is going over well. I thought the NBA players don't like law enforcement. Like, NBA will use law enforcement as security for the Disney bubble in Orlando. Law enforcement, although, will not be on the campus with the players. See, that's where, like, the hypocrisy comes in with the defund the police people. It's like, rich people are often like that, right? It's like, oh, man, we hate cops. You know what I mean? Cops, defund the cops. The cops are the worst. Well, listen, you guys are going to be staying in these hotels. Well, we better get a lot of cops to protect us, huh? Like, right away, it's always the same thing. It's like, well, you know what I mean? God, oh, we hate the cops. We hate the police. Until, wow, you know what? Like, someone, you know, someone's trying to get into my hotel room here. Florida Highway Patrol officers will escort team buses to and from the arenas. Hopefully, they can refrain from shooting any of the players. Orange and Osceola County Sheriff's Office will have a presence at team hotels. I'm sure the players are excited about the local county sheriff hanging out. Department of Homeland Security, in addition to Disney and the NBA itself, will monitor social media for threats. If you're an NBA player, you're like, yeah, whatever, man. I'm still smoking weed. You're going to be blowing weed in, like, FBI agents' faces. Yo, what's up, Chief? What's up, Chief? Vent your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Rage, late night. I am Renzi throwing it down. Bet your rage. A lot of stuff to get to, actually. Not all of it positive, not all of it pretty, but we're dealing with reality here. Unfortunately, we have a NASCAR noose update. And as we stated a couple of nights ago, you notice when the noose incident happened, so many of these, like, for lack of a better term, jerk-offs in the media, and, you know, just sort of like right-wing hack types, you know, they didn't say a damn word. They weren't, oh, that's horrible. Poor Bubba Wallace. Oh, that's terrible what happened. They didn't say anything. And then there was like, oh, it wasn't a hate crime. It was a hoax. Man, it was like the biggest party ever. They actually were so happy. And, oh, you see, this is what happens when you rush to judgment and stuff. Now you see a picture, and they checked every other garage in NASCAR, and not one other garage has a rope in that fashion. But just by chance, of course, you know, it was in Bubba Wallace's garage. Once again, silence. Silence. Silence of the lamb. Silence. You know, yesterday, story about a noose at Sonoma's racetrack. Silence. Right? Like, that's why, like I told you, like, they're just race baiters that don't have any good intentions about truth. Or anything like that. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. We'll get into Vince Carter announcing his retirement. Yankees concerned about Aaron Judge. Carey Price concerned about playing. And that's the thing. The National Hockey League, these guys have taken so freaking long to put a plan together. Now players are starting to have their doubts about playing. But we've got no doubts about talking baseball and sports right now with Jason Tockman, who steps up and in. We'll call him Tack. Which is a pretty cool nickname right there. Tack, of course, was on the program with us a couple of weeks ago. He returns to the fold. What's going on, Jason? It's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Gabe, you look like you had the best day today.
Yeah, you know what? I went for a little walk. Yeah, I went for a little walk.
Perfect
on the seawall. After we did the TV show, I had to do some banking. And, you know, I figured why not walk along the beautiful seawall in beautiful Vancouver. And, yes, perfect, beautiful scenery. So perfect. It's like a movie set. It's almost too perfect.
It is perfect. And you know what? There's no humidity. There's not a lot of pollution down there. And people genuinely, like, they pick up garbage after other people because they love the pristineness of this city. And they take it to heart when people, like, pollute it. They take it to heart when people sort of don't treat it as 100% bang on. So, I'm glad you're able to experience that. Today was one of the most perfect days so far this year.
Yeah, you know what? It might be the cleanest city. You're right. It's too nice. Like, even homeless people pick things up here. Like, even, like, I've seen, like, birds pick things up and clean up.
Listen, I got here 14 years ago. I took I arrived late night, Saturday night, from Montreal with just a hockey bag. I got on a bus the next day, early Sunday morning, to go look for places. And I swear to God, it was early March. And I'm like, the city smells different. Like, this city just smells fresh. This city, it smells clean. It smells like, you know, like it just has a different like feel outside and a different kind of freshness to it that no other city has, not even Montreal. No other city has that.
The air, you know, the Pacific Northwest, beautiful scenery. And, you know, I was talking about this earlier off the top of the program as well. A deep baseball tradition as well. Like baseball goes back a long time in the city of Vancouver, going all the way back, you know, into like, you know, the 20s. And, of course, you were the general manager of the Vancouver Canadiens and had a lot of success with them. So many players. So just to put in perspective, you know, Craig Biggio's son, who's on the Toronto Blue Jays right now, played with the Vancouver Canadiens. Marcus Stroman, Kevin Pillar, Aaron Sanchez, Noah Syndergaard, AJ Griffin, Dan Straley. Dan Straley's killing it right now in the Korean baseball league. Yeah, he's got like he's like the best pitcher in the Korean league right now. Dan Straley, 2009. You know, Kurt Suzuki, 2004. Nelson Cruz, Nick Swisher. You know, we can go on and on. Andre Ethier, we could go on here. So I just wanted to throw some of these names at you. But a deep tradition, and it looks like quite a few big league players have come through Vancouver and the Vancouver Canadiens.
What an absolute honor it was for me to work in a city and in a baseball stadium with such a rich history. People love it. You know, hockey is such a dominant sport here. But, I mean, as we know, like when we were growing up in Montreal, whenever there's a Little League World Series going on, it's always Wally Little League. It's always Surrey. It's there's such an incredible baseball history here, and it starts young. I would love to say it's because of the climate. I think it's because there's a lot of great coaches here. I think it's because they love helping out and volunteering and being a part of their community. And it was an absolute honor to be a part of that incredible organization, to be part of the incredible history. They're the last minor league baseball team in Canada. So that's an incredible responsibility. It's an incredible privilege to be able to represent that team and to be able to, you know, be on the spotlight in front of 175 other, you know, U.S. minor league baseball teams.
Yeah, and, you know, producing so many. It's a good point. There was the Ottawa Lynx after, you know, and, of course, unfortunately, they moved on. So, you know, Noah Syndergaard, interesting guy. And it's hard to believe. It makes me feel old, actually, when I see Noah Syndergaard was in Vancouver in 2011. And here he is now, because it still feels like his career is kind of young. So it goes to show the work that goes in to become a big leaguer, to see where he is now, unfortunately, getting the Tommy John surgery. But this past year, when I was in New York, you know, we were doing a show there every night. I was living there, and I went to a Knicks game. Our studio was right across the street from MSG. So I had a buddy of mine who was in town and has Knicks season tickets. So it was a Bulls-Knicks game. And the Knicks aren't very good, but they do treat their fans pretty good. You know, not Spike Lee, but everybody else.
Except if you're Charles Oakley.
Yeah, if you're Oakley or Spike Lee. But so basically,
okay, so we got fans, upgraded.
Got upgraded. We got upgraded. And so we ended up courtside. Like the Knicks like came to our seats and stuff and said, listen, you know, you want to get upgraded to courtside. So we went down courtside, and Noah Syndergaard was like a couple of seats over. And he was crushing the beers with John McEnroe. And I was thinking, now I've made it. Right? Like, this is the big leagues. I'm sitting courtside. That Pete Davidson guy from SNL that's always depressed was there with, like, supermodels and stuff. And, you know, I was like, man, I could get used to this life. But it was only for one night, Chase. I only lived that one night. I didn't get bad. I'm not like Ariel Helwani. Ariel's like, hey, he can sit courtside every night at MSG. I had to get upgraded once against the crap-ass Bulls only.
That happens to him four times a week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he gets to go in that elevator. They didn't like they didn't let Spike in. But so Noah Syndergaard, though, great pitcher. And, you know, I was
incredible,
really intrigued.
Pitcher.
I'm intrigued by the Mets even now without him. And now you got Marcus Stroman there as well. You look at Stroman, you look at Syndergaard, very similar mental mindsets with these guys, isn't there? Like, they're both super intense, maybe a little bit too intense, but that's their strength, but it can also be their weakness too, right, Jason? That they're so super intense.
Firstly, I'll tell you, unbelievable honor to have them as part of the Vancouver Canadiens organization. I'll tell you a story, Gabe. Syndergaard came to us just before his 19th birthday in 2011. And part of the process of bringing guys over, part of being the only Canadian baseball team, is that there's a lengthy immigration process, or at the very least, it's not as simple as you going down to Plattsburgh to Taco Bell and to go on to Champs, right? It's guys that aren't necessarily, they've never crossed the border. They have a work visa. Some of them aren't even from North America. So we basically have to have members of the Vancouver Canadiens meet them at immigration, answer questions. So Noah comes in the Monday of family day, first Monday in August, and I'm with a guy on our team. I'm teaching him the ropes of immigration, okay? We pick him up, and he's about 6'5", and he's, again, he's 18 years old. He's literally like a mountain.
I guess he was easy to pick out. Like, there he is, right there.
Yeah,
he is.
No kidding. He's like, yeah, he's a car with feet, okay? A please and thank you guy, brought up perfectly. He gets into my car. This is not an exaggeration. He's sitting shotgun. I cannot see out of the right side of my car. He is that thick. He is that big. The guy, my colleague sitting in back of me, is like, his shoulders literally engulfed the shotgun cart. He's like, that's what a star pitcher is supposed to look like. Okay? incredible guy. He threw a couple days later. You don't get too many scouts that come to our games. You get a lot of Blue Jays guys are looking after their own. Same thing when we were at the Oakland A's. They look after their own guys. You know, for this game, there was a few more scouts that came to watch, and they wanted to see what all the fuss was about. He was a first-round pick the year before, and he was finally pitching his first professional game. Just lights-out stuff. And obviously, he's a little bit more advanced in a single-A short season, but it was beautiful to see someone throw 97 with movement at our level. Just really incredible, super nice guy, and happy for him that he was doing really well with the Mets.
Yeah, you know what? Very charismatic guy. One thing with him, though, he's, you know, and you know the New York media, he's so outspoken that sometimes he puts himself out there where people are like, oh, here we go again, Syndergaard this, right, Syndergaard that. And, you know, he's got relationships with the models and, you know, the social scene and everything. But the guy wants to win. And, you know,
hell, you
we'll
know
talk
what?
About
not
this
only does
on
he want to
side.
Win, but Gabe, he doesn't want to win. 2015, when he threw at Escobar in the world, he's like, you guys know where to find me if you guys want to fight. And he's a young guy when he said this. He's putting on his own back, and I respect that.
He's a big-ass dude. Oh, you know, you're right. He'll pack up his mouth. You're right. All right, Jason, hang in here. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Ben, your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. Jason Tauchman kicking it with us, former general manager of the Vancouver Canadiens. Also work with the UFC. I want to get into that a little bit. So much we can talk about. I love the old-time stories about hearing about these players in their minor league days. And you remember, Jason, so, you know, one of the top honors of my career, too. And, you know, everything's been a fun ride. I enjoy every day. That's why we still have the passion for this. So every day I've enjoyed different eras of my career I've enjoyed and stuff. But it was tough to top, man, those summers in Montreal.
Post game show.
Yeah, exactly. Believer fever and stuff, man. And, you know, you remember, it was special. Like, the Expos were getting good. The post-game show was, like, kicking ass, and Sports Rage was on at night. And, like, I took over the Montreal radio scene. And, you know, all these, like, you know, suddenly, all the, you know, Expo fans and Believer fever grew up and everything. So I just have great memories of that. And I actually did a game against the Mets. Melnick was sick. And I got the call in. I actually did color for a game. But one of the cool things I liked the most is I can think back, and you know, because you were there, is I remember Vladimir Guerrero Jr., bro, when he literally was like a little four-year-old chubby kid in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now I see him clubbing baseballs, and I'm like, man, it's kind of crazy, but I knew that kid. Like, when I remember this kid, like, swinging a bat and stuff. He was like 3 years old, stumbling around. And here he is. And also, just like the interviews, like, you know, you're talking about Syndergaard, and I want to ask you about a couple other guys, but, you know, I just have these memories. Like, I remember, like, Milton Bradley, for example, who, you know, had a pretty good career, went on to have a good career. I remember, dude, he was on the with the Vermont Expos, and he told me, this is the first interview I've ever done in my life.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, point blank. Yeah, he said, I've never done an interview before. And, like, yeah.
Amazing.
I was like, you've never done an interview? He goes, no. He goes, I've never done an interview. He goes, this is my first pro interview. He goes, he told me that. So it's pretty cool. You think about stuff like that, like, years later. And, you know, like, the relationships, you meet these guys, then you see after. And some guys change. Some guys change, right? Some guys you see, it's like, yeah, man, he used to be super cool. And now, yeah, he's kind of a big jerk off now and stuff. They change. But so I'm sure you've seen it firsthand. But I like the story about Syndergaard. But Marcus Stroman, somebody that I like. I like the way this guy wears his heart on his sleeve. He goes out there, and another player, he puts his name on it. You know, he steps up on the hill, and he lays his heart out on the line every time he goes out there. He, you know, people thought the Mets were going to trade people last year at the deadline, but they brought Stroman in, and then they went on a hell of a run. They went on a hell of a run, and it's a good thing now they have him because Syndergaard is out, but... What's your take on Marcus Stroman, and you know, what's your experience with Marcus personally?
Marcus is, if my sister wasn't married, I would set them up. What an absolute mensch this guy is, a please and thank you guy. I don't know if you've ever seen what his dad looks like, but he makes Ronnie Coleman look like a six-year-old girl, okay? Google image what Marcus Stroman's dad looks like. Seriously. His biceps are like the size of Marcus Stroman, okay? Unbelievable guy. You want to, you said it before in the last segment. These guys are locked in. When Marcus showed up at the Vancouver Canadiens, his switch was on. Okay? This guy's switch was on, and he came to compete. He wanted to be a pro. You could tell he learned it sort of the right way at Duke University. He wasn't here to have fun. This was a business trip. He's a professional now. And he brought that sense of professionalism to the team. Wasn't with us for a very long time, because you're not going to keep a star like that. Single A, and they had bigger plans for him. And he's also an older guy too. But he, you know, I kept in touch with him. Met up with him when I was in Toronto, and just an upstanding citizen. And you know what? How many guys go and pitch at the defining game of the World Baseball Classic and throw 6+ shutout innings against Puerto Rico? How many guys then take the ball in game 5? I get the Texas Rangers and I think he threw 6 innings, and he wants the ball too, right? Like, he wants that moment. Like, he's not shying away from it. And it does rub people the wrong way, because he's intense and he wants to do well, right? This isn't a game to him. And he plays for his teammates. He plays for him. Like, he plays for the fans. Like, he wants to win, and he has that mentality. I know a few people that have worked with him on the Mets side, and they say he's same guy, please and thank you guy. Just, he wants to win.
Yeah, you know what? And I think baseball would be better off, actually. And I get it. I get it, the code and the old school and, you know, the old baseball police and stuff like that. But, you know, I know Bryce Harper's talked about it even. And, you know, he says, what do people like about the NBA? The dunks, the celebrations. What do people like in the NFL? Touchdowns. And he goes, we should loosen up instead of, like, throwing at people.
Not only that.
Don't get pissed off that he flipped the bat. You hit a home run and do a cooler bat flip. Like, getting mad about flipping a bat is almost like NBA terms of, like, getting mad that someone dunked. You know what I mean? It's like, bro, it's entertaining, all right? Like, you do it yourself. No. You don't like it, do it yourself. You know what I mean?
And the thing is, it's not about the person being dunked on. It's about the team doing it. So, like, when Bryce Harper hits that walk-off grand slam against the Cubs last year to get them within a game of the wild card, he's running around the bases. It has nothing to do with the Cubs. It could be any team. Right, Nick? Now, obviously, the help of the team is the wild card, this and that, Wednesday Night Baseball, John Crook's on. But, like, he wanted to get there with his teammate. It's about them. It's about the team. It's not about the opponent. But let me tell you a good story about the Canadians. The 2019 Washington Nationals had absolutely nothing to do with the Vancouver Canadians when they were Oakland A's affiliates, nothing to do with the Vancouver Canadians when they were Blue Jays, okay? That we had two alumni on the Washington Nationals, Kurt Suzuki, like you said, and 2007 Vancouver Canadiens first baseman, Sean Doolittle.
Oh, yeah. Okay?
He was our first baseman. He talked to a couple of guys on the A's were so, you know, this is one of the most progressive companies, not even sports teams, one of the most progressive companies, 2007. He tells him, he goes, look, I can throw pretty hard. Why don't you guys take a look at me on an off day? So they bring in a couple of additional scouts, and everyone sort of lines up to go see him.
He was a first baseman. He was a first baseman. And now here he is, like 13 years later with a big league career. And a smart guy, too, right? A voice of, you know, socially conscious, smart guy. A very smart guy.
You don't pitch more than a couple years.
Yeah.
You don't pitch more than a couple years in the show without being smart. It's not a – you can't brute strength or brute force your way in there. You got to learn cadences and that stuff. But just incredible. Like, really, just that never – I mean, even if we were – the Blue Jays went that far to have two guys on the team is at that level is pretty good. But to have on another team, especially when it's 2001, 2007, it was incredible. Like that's a very cool thing to see. Also, Kurt Suzuki is one of the most respected guys in the game. Like, you don't be a catcher for that long, catching the big boys after a 15, 16 year career, without being very respected.
So what do you think, you know, people in our chat are enjoying the baseball talk here with you, Jason. So what do you think of these, the 60-game season? And let's start off with the rules. So, you know, now, so there's a designated hitter now, and they're going to be starting. So I guess you're familiar with this. Starting the extra innings with a runner on second base. What's your take on
the new rules came in. The new rules came in after I was after I left Major League Baseball. I love it because you don't want to waste, and I hate to use the term wasting arms, but in a developmental league, and even in the majors, is you can't have a game, especially a random game, game number 71 of 162, go so long. What it also does is it makes the ending more exciting. But one thing it's going to do, Gabe, and I know the gamblers out here, is it's going to put a lot of pressure on the road team to get that winning run across in the eighth or ninth inning, because you don't want to go into the bottom of the 10th with a leadoff guy in scoring position. Because what are you going to have? You have a sack bunt, intentional walk, and then you're going to either have another intentional walk to load the bases, or you're going to pitch to a guy and all of a sudden the game could be over. So you're going to see a lot more risky play, a lot more aggressive play by the road team, which I think is fun. That's strategy, right? You don't want the same old. Hey, listen, worst comes to worst, you change it, right?
So
what's going to happen?
So that's a good point you raise. It's because I'm like, oh, you're taking strategy out when you know, your pitchers have to face three guys. It's new strategy. I get it. So let me ask you, let's say you're the Yankees and you've got Chapman. You're not, are you saving him for the 10th anymore? Or as you stated, are you going for the jugular and the kill and you put your best closer in? Like, are you throwing Chapman out there in the 7th inning now? Like, what changes, like, from the strategy? Like, let's use that closer as an example. Are you looking to murder teams and, like, close this out before? So does it change the role of the closer at all, in your opinion?
I think what it does is it puts the emphasis to have a deeper bullpen, and then it puts the emphasis on, let's say, in this instance, Aaron Boone, to say, okay, we need 7 outs now, because now we need to get a hammer in the 8th to make sure that's locked down, especially if the Yankees are the home team. Because they need to, in this instance, because you want to be able to make sure that they're not going to play super aggressive in the 8th or 9th, you need a strikeout. You don't want guys going to put the ball in play and risk anything. And then you can sort of play it backwards. So you got to get, now you're thinking about 7 outs if it's a tie game to go into the 10th, which then you want to, then you're going to have an opportunity to get the scoring, the winning run home. But I love it. I love the new strategy. And look, it's going to make people think. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty of smart people in baseball.
The people that you talk to in baseball, do they think, because I just don't understand, Jason, how they think, especially now when you see how the virus is spiking in so many states that have Major League Baseball teams. It's like, yeah, the virus isn't spiking in Montana or South Dakota. Well, unfortunately, they're not playing Major League Baseball there. So,
yeah,
I just don't understand how they think they're going to fly around everywhere, expose themselves to hotels, airports, and everything else in between, and not have coronavirus run rampant. Like, do you believe they can pull this off?
Well, I'm not a doctor, and it's funny you talked about Dr. Henry at the beginning of the show, and I think her new title in a couple of years is going to be Nobel Prize winning Dr. Henry, because I think that she's I think that she is literally the BC is the benchmark of health because of her. But anyway,
that's what I was telling people. Like, she's a celebrity, like the way she handled it. Like, yeah, and she, the NHL, like, they realize, yeah, we're not changing this lady's mind. Like, I think they realize.
Well, yeah, she's I mean, I'll take her writing shot. You know, I'll listen to her over Gary Bettman or, you know, exactly. Rob Manfred. Thank you very much. How about a world-renowned doctor who's saving lives and not trying to, you know, mug for the camera, not trying to make a statement, okay? She literally, very few people you can point to in this world that save lives, she's saving lives. Anyways, are these teams going to go? I think they want to play. I think they're redoing the divisions in geography. I think it's going to be really. I think it's going to be really difficult to get the games in its entirety. I think they're planning for players to sort of get injured and be quarantined, and that's why this season is going to be really tricky to handicap and really tricky, you know, to sort of, you know, put your head around, because it's going to really favor teams that have
bigger.
A very
minor league. If people realize
it's going to favor teams.
Go on,
it's going to favor teams. It's going to favor teams that are going to have a very deep farm system, but at the major league level. So you're going to have. So it's going to have guys in Double A or Triple A, and that's where it's going to be very tricky. And it's also going to favor teams that, let's say, have a steady base right now, because you're not going to look at teams that are going to make that free agent acquisition at the. They're going to make that trade deadline, excuse me, to sell tickets, because there's no selling tickets. So now your team is basically as is. You're not going to take that risk knowing you're going to, you know, get your playoff gates and stuff like that. The marginal increment from ticket revenue is not happening. You're going to have a good team now.
Very interesting. All right, hang in here, Jason. We'll wrap it up with you on the other side. We could talk all night, really enjoying it. Sports Rage, late night. I am Morency. A lot of stuff to get to. Carey Price had concerns. Montreal Canadiens goaltender wondering what the NHL's plan actually is. NFL shuts down the Hall of Fame game. Vince Carter retires. And more Vent Your Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. Great job being done by Yang. Master Control, Midtown Manhattan. Shout out to Ariel Helwani as well, who tweets, all right, Jason equals ratings. One of the smartest minds in sports and an expert on all things 1992 Houston Oilers. Ooh.
My first love, Houston Oilers.
I got to tell you, I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, Jason.
I know. The last two times I cried in my life was a 35-3 game, which is still nauseating. And then the year after, we won 11 straight. And Montana and Marcus Allen beat us in the divisional game. The only time like we've ever hosted a home playoff game was very, very sad. Very sad.
You know what? I wish we weren't on syndicated radio on like 392 stations right now, because I would run over and bust out my Warren Moon jersey that I have. And I don't keep a lot of jerseys that I have over the years, but my Warren Moon jersey. And I tell you what, dude, I lived in Vegas. I've lived in New York City. I've lived like, you know, all over the place. All right. And I've had this jersey for years. Whatever city I'm in, wherever I am, not one person has ever said anything negative to me about Warren Moon in that jersey. You know what I mean? Like, I've been told to F off with all kinds of other jerseys. Hey, the Bills suck, you know. Canadians blow. You know, yeah, suck it, Yankee. You know what I mean? Like, you name it. Like, you know, I've heard something negative. Everybody says the same thing. They're like, man, that's a wicked jersey. That Houston Oiler helmet might be the coolest helmet in the history of football, too, along with the Buccaneers gear. But we got less than 30 seconds, Jason. Well, let's talk again next week. It's always amazing having you on. The hour just flew by tonight, bro.
By the way, we're going to wear matching Warren Moon jerseys next time.
I like it. Hayward, Jefferson, all these guys. Old school Buddy Ryan. We're getting some old school Houston Oiler stories.
Sean Jones, Blaine Bishop, anytime.
Those are all my favorite players. Earl Campbell, Walter Payton. OJ was on Ernest that Gibbons. List. So, yeah, he went. You know.
Hey, Jason. You know.
Great stuff, my man.
All right. Thanks, brother. Talk to you soon.
Sports Edge, late night, continues level 2 coming up. Bring it.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.